the Tom Likas Show.
You're a freak with a microphone.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Tom Likas!
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And here to do that, is family law attorney Adam Sachs here in studio on the Tom Likas Show. Welcome back, Adam.
Thanks, Tom. Always great to be here.
And here we are with, this is your opportunity to talk about family law with people who are considering divorce or they're separating or who knows what. They've got child support issues, child custody issues, and you deal with all of that.
Of course. Now, Tom, I have an interesting thing tonight.
All right.
So, you know that we've bitched about American women and all the negative aspects. And I think we've talked generally about our disdain for getting married. And in general, I've said that it's just not a good idea in spite of even getting prenups or whatever the story is. One of the things that you've always emphasized, which I certainly agree with you, is, you know, it being a good idea to get with a foreign woman or to try to, you know, kind of break out of what's here and find something else. And in particular, we talked sometimes about sponsoring a woman from another country or one of these internet sites or bringing her here. And you've always said that that was probably not such a great idea either. Because they're sort of setting a precedent of, you know, supporting her and taking care of her and sponsoring her,
right,
and all the associated risks. So I hope we have my one of my clients on the line.
I'm looking right now, and there he is.
Right.
His name is Frank.
Oh, good, Frank. Okay, well, let's put him on in about 30 seconds here.
All right.
Frank, actually, and I want him to tell his own story, but Frank actually met a foreign woman, Tom, who was already in America, and she already had permanent residency, and she already had a life going on here, but she was raised abroad in Europe, in Scandinavia, and I think he just thought that he had hit the jackpot, basically. She was attractive and intelligent and very un-American. She didn't have a lot of the attitude stuff. Plus, he didn't have to sponsor her. He didn't have to bring her here. He didn't have to sign an affidavit of support or anything like that because she was already all set up here. And she wanted to live in the United States. That's another great thing. And Frank really bent over backwards trying to please this woman. And I think we've discussed, Tom, many times that the game is essentially rigged. So anyway...
Are you asking me or are you telling me? Of course.
I'm asking and I'm telling. Let's bring him on. Is he there?
Yeah, he's right here. Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Frank.
Sure.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Tom.
Hey. So you've been my client for like over a year, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're living in Los Angeles, right? In the LA area.
Yes.
And tell us about how you met this person and some of the background.
Well, I met her here in – actually, I met her in Manhattan Beach. She was already here. She was a Scandinavian and just met her normal, you know, at a park one day. I was walking my dog, and she seemed pretty cool, and she had a job, and she was working, and we got to know each other for a while, and then eventually – you know, she moved in.
Right.
And,
but one
we
second,
never got
so
married.
One second. Now,
yeah.
Tom and I always tease about this, but like when I was younger, they had this thing they called it the Un-Cola, which was like 7-Up. It was the opposite of Coca-Cola or whatever.
Yeah.
This woman was the un-American woman, right?
Yeah, she was different. Yes, definitely. But so, she was cool. But she was definitely growing. Her background, European background, Scandinavian background. It was great. She was nice, and she had a different point of view, and it was refreshing, and you know, I liked her.
So she was sort of everything you hope that a foreign woman would turn out to be.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I wasn't looking for a foreign woman, but we had things in common, and it was great. We got to know each other, and everything was fine for a while.
And your background is also a little foreign in a way, right?
Well, my parents immigrated, but in the 50s, actually. So I was born here, but yeah, I come from a conservative family and good family values and some international background to it. It was appealing, you know.
All right. So anyway, so you end up living with her, right? And you kind of change your life around for her a bit, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be easy. You know, I had to work less. I had to come home, you know, have dinner with her and. A lot of different things that were changed. She actually, once she moved in, she decided she was teaching school as an art teacher, a high school teacher, and she slowly, eventually cut that back and decided she wanted to just stay home and become an artist and paint. And I supported her because I thought that was the right thing to do.
Now, as I recall, you remodeled your house, right? She moved
well,
into
that
your
was the
house.
Thing. Yeah, the house was too small. One of the things is that all of her family and relatives started coming over from Scandinavia, Norway, and they would, it wouldn't just be one or two. It would be like lots of them, cousins, the brother-in-law, the brother-in-law's friend, the teenage nieces would come over, and every time I'd have to show them around. So she wanted to. Buy a bigger house. She wanted us to have a bigger house. And
right.
So we went and looked for a house, and then eventually decided, let's build a house. And so I built her a house. And she wanted specific things. She wanted an art studio so she could do her art. She wanted to have guest quarters for her parents to come and stay and, all that sort of thing. And I built it for her.
Right. So you're really putting for this woman. You're really, trying to make her happy and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, Tom, one of the things that we've talked about many times, and I really think this is right, where the woman's desire is generally very nonspecific. And so, when you're married or even in a serious relationship, a woman will start telling you, I really need this thing. I need you to do such and so. I need to move. I need a minivan, whatever it is. And they'll get focused on it. And, as a man, we're solution oriented as men, and we'll say, okay, great, whatever. If I get her this thing, will she shut up, So you get it for her, and then it's like moving the goalposts. It's like the second you've done it, now she wants, something else. And so you see here how Frank is rebuilding his place, and he's putting this art studio, and he's accepting her not working anymore, and he's helping her with all her many guests from her country, and he's building guest rooms for them and so forth. And then Frank, what's the penultimate thing that happened then?
Well, we did have a couple kids.
Right.
We had two daughters, and then she decided... Actually, she snuck away to Norway and basically stayed there and decided not to come back. And so now I'm, thank goodness for Adam helping me out. I'm battling internet. I find myself in an international custody fight with Adam on my side. And I appreciate that. He's very sensitive and he's helped me out. This stuff's expensive and he's been very helpful for me in that regard. But I also have a Norwegian lawyer. I'm doing all kinds of stuff, so I'm trying to get the kids back to America. It's a very complicated situation, but she just decided one day, she very secretively planned it, which we didn't find out for like 2 years later. I mean, she had basically went there on vacation, forged documents, registered the children as Norwegian citizens, and registered herself as permanently leaving America. She secretly gave up her green card and abandoned it, basically, in a very unusual way. She did it retroactively, and we didn't know any of this stuff. It took a long time, and when she was over there, she would lie and make excuses about she wanted to stay a little longer for this reason or that reason or whatever. And I was going along with it. I would go back and forth, and then eventually. The secret came out that she wanted to stay there, and she's not going to come back, and she's done everything she can to basically keep me away from the kids.
Unbelievable. So Tom, isn't that fascinating? Here, he didn't pull her out of her country. She was living in the U.S. already. and she had gotten permanent residency. She was working. She had a fairly established life. And it just shows you, when a woman has children, it's amazing what a tremendous transition can happen to them. He or she literally wakes up one morning, apparently, and decides, you know, she doesn't want her green card anymore. She renounces it. She moves back to her country. She does it in the guise of going to visit, which they had done before. But her real plan, once she was there, is putting the kids in school there, reorganizing, never to return. And Frank here is supposed to basically be this disposable provider, where he's supposed to pay money and child support and all this other stuff, while she, just as a dictator, decides what the kids are going to do, where they're going to live, and in this other country, completely deceptively, with fake documents and everything else. And I'm sorry to say, this whole international thing, it's been very, very difficult for Frank to deal with, very financially burdensome, and ultimately, in a lot of ways, the law has protected her. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's outrageous. Now, when we're dealing with an international incident here, you know, how complicated and expensive does that get? It must be crazy.
What do you say, yeah, Frank? Complicated and expensive?
Yeah, very complicated, very expensive. Basically, even when you have all the correct documentation, you have everything on your side, the overseas courts are you know, they're corrupt and they're lenient towards their own people. You know, I've been to court over there in Norway, and the judge takes one look at her, blonde hair, blue eyed, one of his own, and then me across this American, and it's like, the judge is like, why am I even here? And, you know, we're talking about also a smaller municipality that where it's just, he probably knows them. He's related. He doesn't care. And it's not just my case like this. There's other cases that have been that I've going through this research. It's pretty common. It happens a lot, and it's a similar trait. You know, these folks from different countries, once they leave America, they feel like they have all the, they hold all the cards, and they do. So,
I think
say they do. Wait a minute. You're not that negative. You do think you're making progress here, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I have a good attorney in Norway, and I have Adam helping me out, and I am making progress over there. I'm by no means is it hopeless. I'm you know, I have contact luckily with the girls because my children ask to talk to me because they're born here and they have lived here most of their life before the mom took them away, and they have friends here, and I unfortunately I'm stuck on Skype with them. And I Skype with them because the kids demand it, not because their mother wants me to have any time with them. It's more the children demanding it every week to talk to their dad. And I bring their kids, I bring their friends over, so they have connections here, so that's good. But basically, it's just a fight. And what's interesting about this is that she's basically become this greedy person. Like she's got the children, she's in her country. She's collecting social welfare for herself. She's collecting social welfare for each child. She has a job, so she's making out pretty good. Her country is very socialist and very the government hands out money left and right. On top of that, she wants me to send her money. She wants equity from the house that I built, that I owned before I met her. And she wants automobiles from America sent to her. It's crazy.
Why not?
What?
Yes, total selfish.
So, Adam, what authority do the judges in a foreign country have over somebody who lives here?
Well, there are international treaties, and it's extremely complicated. One of the things that happened to Frank, which I think was particularly unfair, is that he ended up having a hearing or a few hearings in a local court in her country. And he talks about her being, you know, blue-eyed or whatever. I don't know if that's the biggest issue. But I have to say that I didn't get the impression that the judge was too sympathetic to a foreigner. You know, fundamentally, the judge is you know, from that country, Norway. She's a Norwegian. She's going boo-hoo-hoo and how unfair it all is. And, you know, Frank comes off as this, you know, American asshole coming here to, you know, screw up a Norwegian. And the Norwegian judge is, I think, very inclined and did ultimately give orders that favored her. So it's, like, very difficult for the foreign person to get a fair shake. And what's interesting, you know, there are many instances, and these have been on television and stuff, of women who got involved with Saudi men or Lebanese men who took them back to these Arab states where women have no rights. So it's very, very difficult to get any kind of traction. But in this case, you know, Norway is a Western country. It's a Western democracy. It's part of the, you know, European Union and all that stuff. So it's not this kind of on the fringes country. And it just shows you, on top of all of it, how difficult it is to get a fair shake in a foreign legal system. And even in the United States, with respect to this case and things that we did here, the judges here in the U.S. and California and elsewhere, they're very concerned about not causing like a diplomatic incident and not violating foreign treaties. And there are all these complicated Hague Convention treaties and so forth. And it's a very, very, very unusual and specialized area of law. And, you know, here's Frank, just a regular guy, trying to kind of, you know, deal with all of this. And what's amazing about this woman, and like we said, that he's saying how he met her at the dog park, and she's very cool and easygoing, and she's an un-American woman, so she doesn't have the attitude. Well, she has boiled herself down to this 100% bitch to deal with, greedy beyond greedy, gimme, gimme, gimme. She wants cars and money on top of all the money that she gets from her country, which has a lot of oil wealth, by the way, and gives money to citizens basically for nothing. And she's collecting every dime that she can find and wants to take Frank to the cleaners on top of giving him a hard time just keeping in touch with the kids and visiting them and so forth and so on. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I think ultimately, Tom, I know that we were always trying to find some kind of solution or some kind of alternative. And ultimately, I think foreign women may actually not be a very good alternative after all.
Well, again, I do believe that, first of all, I don't believe in getting married.
All right.
And if you don't get married, you're not going to be getting divorced and you're not going to be having this kind of a debate.
Well, this could have happened just having kids, even if he hadn't married her. The kids
right?
are really the problem.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, again, you know, what's done is done. But I tell guys, you know, now go hire the surrogate mother. Do not be having children with a woman who can tell you what to do. But again, you know, in the case of our guest, you know, what's done is done. He's got to deal with what, you know, the cards he's been dealt. And that's what you're helping him do here.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, like, where this goes from here. It sounds so complicated. What happens next?
Well, I think, Frank, aren't you appealing your case from Norway into some European Court of Appeals or something?
Yeah, there's, you know, I need to get through the Norwegian system before I can get to a more fair international court. So I'm doing that, and you know, I'm doing two things really. I'm fighting all I can in the legal system to get access back with the children and try to get them back here to California, and I'm also trying to stay in contact with them as much as I can, you know, by going there and also by, you know, Skyping and that sort of thing. And I'm trying to keep their connection to California as best I can. I'm trying to, they have really good friends here, and I'm trying to keep that dialogue between their friends open with them and do all I can and try to be a good father even though I'm far away. You know, because eventually there will be a, you know, end to this, or it's going to take a while. It's very complicated and there's a lot at stake. But, you know, as the kids get older, they start being able to have their own, make their own decisions and that sort of thing. And I'm hoping that they will, you know, make certain decisions that might be, you know, in their best interest and, you know, reconnect them back with me and with California, the United States. So,
right.
Kind of what I'm doing.
So is that the freakiest
Understood.
Thing ever, Tom?
Wow. Well, certainly among the freakier ones. And, well, I need to find myself in that position. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's got to be one of the most bizarre and frustrating things that could happen to a person. And the callousness and the cruelty of the woman in particular and playing this game that the children go wherever she wants and do whatever she wants and she owns them and can cut their father off from them, you just see that it doesn't matter what the story is or where the woman's from. It transcends all cultures and borders, and it just seems to be a very basic attitude. And here we see it with someone that you, I guess, wouldn't expect it from. You know, ordinarily, if I met a guy and he told me, wow, you know, the hell with American women, I found this Scandinavian woman and she's relaxed and she's cool and she loves sex and she doesn't make a big deal about things, I would be like, oh, man, you're the luckiest guy in the whole world. And for it to just completely go south in a couple of years is hard to fathom. It's really amazing. And in particular, what was so sort of touching in a way about Frank was how much he wanted to please her and how much he wanted to accommodate her. And, you know, I would have thought, you know, she's telling him, oh, well, you know, I don't want to work anymore. And he's saying, okay, and I want to be an artist and I want you to build me a studio. So he's building her a studio and she's having all these people coming from, you know, her country and staying with them for weeks and weeks at a time. And so he's building guest rooms for them and accommodations and super patient. I could really see a guy going to Russia or Ukraine or something like that and bringing a woman back and her saying, I don't like the United States. It's not what I thought it would be. I want to go home to my country. I miss my country. Here, she was a woman that was already here and already had permanent residency and already had an established life here. So this should have been something that came very naturally. And I think that men also very much underestimate how much motherhood, which theoretically is a positive thing, but they don't realize how much motherhood will change a woman and change her outlook. And how a woman fundamentally ends up forming a very hateful relationship with the man that she had children with. And there's truly no man that a woman hates as much as the man that she has children with. And here, you know, Frank has two, you know, young daughters with her, and she just, like, something pops in her head, and she's like, I want to raise my daughters to be pure, natural Norwegians in Norway, and I don't want them living in this cancerous society of America. And it's like, what the fuck happened to you? You know, it's like a brain freeze. It's like, wait, a week ago you're living here and applying for citizenship, and now all of a sudden you have to raise your daughters in your home country, and it's unbelievable. It's so hard to understand, and it really emphasizes to me how difficult and ridiculous it is for a man to put his trust in a woman's hands. You just can't do it. They're just too unpredictable.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think what Adam was saying about the motherhood thing, you know, I really believe something happened to her, you know, chemically or what, I don't know what happened to her, but after the kids, after she had kids, especially after the second kid, and she was very secretive about it, and I think something happened to her, like what Adam was saying, that she wanted to go back to her country and, you know, patriotic or whatever, and, you know, get away from evil America, back to, you know, where she's taken care of and all that sort of thing. And I think that's something that happened with after having kids, and especially after the second kid, because it wasn't so bad after the first one. She was pretty normal. I think she started plotting and doing the secret stuff after the second kid was born.
But, you know, how can you explain it, Frank? Why? I mean, where? It just comes out of nowhere. It's bizarre.
Totally. Totally out of nowhere. I mean, we're not talking, and also, you know, just to be clear, our life in California, you know, this is basically a beach house. We live right by the beach. It's one of the most desirable places to live. She had friends. All the neighbors loved her. It was a shock to everybody with what happened. It's crazy. So she had every advantage here. She had everything. She had, you know, she's, you know, able to, you know, shop wherever she wanted, do whatever she wanted. Had a social circle, and that wasn't enough for her. She had this weird thing that just clicked, and then she knew that I would never, you know, because she had actually, you know, she had talked about, oh, you know, we should go to Norway. It's really nice, and you know,
by the way, Frank, I've got nothing against Norway. I mean,
yeah, I got nothing against Norway either.
Right.
Said, you know, when we retire, it's not a bad time to go visit there. You know, but we're not moving there. I'm not, you know. There's no career. The weather's horrible. There's nothing to eat. There's no social life. I mean, it's a total different culture. And you know, but I was open to it. We went there twice a year, you know, summers and Christmases. And
no, but I'd like to believe that you were this cruel bastard, you know, and you wouldn't let her call her mother on the phone, and you wouldn't let her have them visit or whatever, and you were this dominating guy, and, you know, if she spoke in Norwegian, you'd get angry at her or something, you know, and that's just not the case.
No, that's not the case. No, it's just weird how secretive and just it's just a shock to not just me but everybody else. I mean, some people were even more shocked than I was at how she could do this. But it's something she was obviously planning for a long period of time, because at a certain point she knew she wanted to go, and she knew that would never happen. She had, by the way, she had other foreign friends here that were married to American men, and some of them had gotten divorced, and they also expressed feelings of wanting to go back to their countries. However, they didn't do it the way she did it. You know, they did it the normal way, and the husband wouldn't let them go, so they're still living here, and everything's fine. But this one, she said, that's not going to happen to me, and she came up with a plan, and she executed her plan flawlessly. Very calculating, very, you know.
And no doubt the friends helped her make that plan, because that's been my experience every time I've gotten a divorce, has been that the friends get in there and...
Yeah. Yeah, she had a Norwegian friend in Maryland that went through a similar thing, and her husband wouldn't let her go, and so she learned a lot from her and plotted. Yeah, definitely there was help. Definitely, at the time, I mean, you know, this all came out. It all comes out later after the fact when you start investigating. But yeah, there was definitely help, and very strange.
Wow,
unreal, man.
Quite a story.
So Thomas,
yes.
This is just ongoing. But I just think guys have to be aware. It doesn't really matter what the story is. The end is always the same. What do you say, Tom? This is what you get?
Well, you get what you pay for. And, again, when you get married and you have kids with that person, this is more than half the time now, that's what's happening in the United States. As I've said many times, in this country, we began taking the census in 1790, and they took it every 10 years up until 2010. And in 2010, something changed that had not been true of any of the prior censuses that we took. And that is the majority of American adults are single, either divorced or never married. First time it's ever happened. And being unmarried is not so unusual and not such a bad thing. And signing this onerous contract to be obligated to all these things, like what Frank has been going through here, doesn't this drive the point home that getting married is not for you? It's not for us. Having kids with a woman that can later take them away from you and then take away all your wealth, is that really what people want? No one ever sees ahead to the future. What Frank has, he couldn't see it in the future. And there are guys out there right now thinking, oh, but my girl's not like that. My girl is not like that. And your girl will be like that. Give it time. That's what's going to happen.
I got to tell you, Tom, I know the whole thing, you know, it's different for us. I have never seen such a hateful woman in court. You got to see the look on her face, the body language, the pure rage and anger. You really would have thought that Frank must have, like, fucked her sister or something, okay? I mean, she couldn't have been more angry. And here's a guy that was really kind to her and really tried to make her happy and accommodated her and tried to, you know, to do all these things to make her happy and comfortable. It's a no-win situation.
Well, I'm sorry it happened to Frank, but I also don't want to see it happen to our other listeners out there. I don't want to see that happen. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of seeing this happen to our other listeners. And, you know, again, it's all you guys out there who think you found the one and everybody else is a schmuck. Let me tell you something. You're going to find out the hard way. Anyway.
All right.
Well, Frank, that's a fascinating, very disturbing story you're telling there. But I'm glad Adam is on your side, and I'm glad you got somebody fighting for you.
Yeah, it's good to have him. He's very, very... He knows his shit. He's, I brought him a very complicated mess, and he sorted it out, and he did his best. I mean, you know, it's gone the way it's gone, no fault of his, but, you know, he's been very sensitive. It's because it's a very, very difficult situation, and like you were asking before, this is so expensive, and Adam's, you know, worked with me on the financial side of it, too, which I really, really appreciate.
Thanks,
well, that's
man.
Great to hear. Frank, good luck to you, and hopefully we'll get a happy ending for you. And Not the one we're all thinking of, but a different happy ending. Thank you, Frank.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. There goes Adam's client, Frank. That's a very disturbing story, Adam. It you know, I don't have kids, but the idea that some woman would bail on me from another country and then sue me by remote control, that's one of my worst nightmares, really.
There's nothing to say about it. It's unbelievable. And like I said, Tom, you know, you expect an American woman to shit on you, you know? But there's this naive hope that somehow this foreign woman wouldn't do it. And I got to tell you, she's one of the worst cases I've ever seen. And the
amazing stuff.
The anger, Tom. Oh, God. God.
I believe it.
You
know why she's angry, Adam? Because she had a plan.
Yeah.
And she thought she was executing the plan perfectly and that nobody was going to get in her way. She's angry about, this was not the plan.
I know, but the plan is very cruel, and she actually got a lot of what she wanted, so I don't know why she's so pissed. It's unbelievable.
Right. Understood. We're going to take a break here.
One more second. She actually seems angry at her daughters for wanting to be with her father. That didn't match the plan. She can't figure that one out.
Right? She's probably trying to poison the well against the father, too.
Don't even ask.
Oh, I can only imagine. All right, Adam is here. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and it's your opportunity to call in with your questions about family law. If you're divorced, if you're getting a divorce, if you're separated, if you're thinking about doing these things, if you've got kids, if you're worried about child custody, child support, vaginamony, which is what we call alimony around here. Vaginamony is regular monthly payments for the past use of a vagina, commonly called spousal support. Vaginamony is what we call that. Maybe you're dealing with a restraining order or who knows what. If it's related to family law, this is free legal advice for you from Adam Sachs. And you can call right now with your questions at 901-3000-TOM. That's the number, 901-3000-TOM. Your questions about divorce, separation, child custody, child support, vaginamony, all answered for free by calling 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Summer's here, and it's a great time to enjoy a new car. And our friends at Spring Honda are fully stocked to make it easy for you to drive off in one of the most reliable rides on the road. Hondas, you know how I feel about them. I've had great experiences owning many of them, and I highly recommend them for their value and reliability. And face it, they can be fun cars to drive. Check out their selection and great prices at SpringHonda.com. That's SpringHonda.com. You can drop by Spreen's huge dealership in Loma Linda or give them a call at 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda, they also have a huge selection of quality, affordable used cars of all major brands. It's all right there at Spreen Honda, just off the 10 in Loma Linda, about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and O.C. Call or drop by today. And do tell Jeff Spreen and his great staff that we sent you. It's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda. SPREEN at SpreenHonda.com.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at NewNormalRock.com and ask like tune in. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no bras, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener, Antonio Atoche, and his brothers. And they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs at your calls here at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number to talk to Adam. It's 901-3000-866. And just an aside, Adam, have you seen this TV show that runs on? It's a syndicated show called Divorce Court. You ever seen this, the most recent iteration of this show?
I think I saw it a few years ago. What's going
totally
on?
Totally fake.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's fiction. You know, it's supposed to look like an actual courtroom and stuff, but you know it's fake.
Yeah.
The people are fake. It's all actors. And they are acting out, I don't know if these are real divorce cases or fictionalized cases or total fiction. I don't know, but you know, they try to pass this off as a real courtroom, and it's nothing of the kind.
So what happens in the show?
Well, it looks like these other judge shows, like People's Court or Judge Joe Brown or whatever. You know, except that it's happening in what is clearly a TV studio. It doesn't look like a real courtroom.
Tom, listen, I swear to God, if guys came just with me for one morning, just the morning I spent today, in divorce court, in real divorce family law court, no one would get married. It's hilarious when politicians talk about strengthening the family and the family bond and making families in America stronger, and then they pile on the laws when it comes to divorce that screw guys over. It's just unbelievable. There's just no reason to do it. There's just no rational person who would put themselves into that position. It's too ridiculous. And by the way, no. One of the things I've been seeing a lot lately, and maybe this is my imagination, but it is a trend apparently, is what they call the graying of divorce. So remember all these women that were saying to you, Tom, you know, you're going to be alone when you're old and all that if you don't get married? Well, people are getting divorced in their 60s and their 70s and their 80s now. And believe me, it does not match being an old man and getting dragged into court at 75 to deal with this bitch that wants half your retirement and everything else. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. And, you know, one thing I've read, amazingly enough, is one reason for older people getting divorced is Viagra.
Oh, of course.
There's a lot of women out there thought that they were going to their golden years. They wouldn't have to have sex with their husbands anymore.
Ick.
And now he's got that 4-hour erection and chasing her around the bathtub, and women are leaving because of that now.
Yeah. God, why would they want to have sex with their husband? How disgusting.
Exactly.
Can you imagine something so horrible? What a
awful
nightmare.
Awful.
Technology screws
up
everything.
Bill in Baltimore. Yes. I know. Bill in Baltimore. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Bill.
Great.
Hey, how you doing? Got a question for Adam. I live in the state of Maryland. I don't know if you're really up on this, but
you won't believe it, Bill. But I used to live in Alexandria, Virginia. Yes, it's true.
Really? Wow.
I know the whole D.C. area.
Okay. Okay. My question concerns a divorce. I have an 18-year-old just graduated from high school and a 16-year-old.
Okay.
And the 18-year-old, of course, is off the payroll, so to speak, now. We had a written agreement we did in a lawyer's office years ago when the kids were very young. And the agreement stated that I was going to pay. I was actually unemployed at the time. I was laid off. I said that I am capable of making X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
And she was a stay-at-home mom, and of course, she, you know, she got half the farm and all that stuff.
Come on, stay-at-home mom.
And she got vagina money, the whole thing. Anyway, the bottom line is, we had a written agreement.
Man.
We did in an office for the lawyer.
Yeah.
And the lawyer said, okay, fine, this is what you pay. And we both agreed to that, and the whole thing, it's all said and done, a certain amount every month. So I wrote her a check last month when the oldest one graduated from high school.
Yeah.
I still have a 16-year-old, and I wrote it for half the amount. Now she claims she wants to drag me back into court to pay more money. Meanwhile, she's married and bought a house and...
You see,
with the money that she got.
Don't you understand? This is so fundamental, okay? It's never going to be enough. Don't you understand? Don't you understand?
Oh, yeah. I see that.
This is something that guys just cannot put in their minds, okay? If Tom Likas and I make a business arrangement, right? We shake hands. We have a contract. It's $10,000. I give him the $10,000. He gives me the $10,000. Whatever. It's done. It's over. It's closed. You know,
right?
We have a beer and we laugh about it, but women do not think that way. And when you talk about
the worst part about the whole thing is, I agreed that I make a certain amount of money, and you don't make anything because you're a stay-at-home mom.
Well, that's
so we
by
based
the way,
it on that.
Bill, I'm sorry, that's crazy by itself. This is not the 1940s.
I
know, but I mean before that, it's not the 1940s. Okay, you cannot be involved with a woman that doesn't work. You just can't. This whole thing with stay-at-home mom and blah, blah, blah for my children, that I know it sounds like a good idea, maybe for a year or two or something when they're first born, but that is going to bite you in the ass because ultimately her standard of life is going to be based on that. And if she was living as a stay-at-home mom long enough, there's a point where they're going to say she's unemployable, she can't get a job, blah, 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 and you're going to be supporting her forever. I mean, Maryland
or
anywhere.
Yes, she got alimony for the longest time. It was more than child support.
Yeah.
And the bottom line, it was to rehabilitate herself for the workflow.
Well, when does that ever end?
Yeah, well, that ended. That ended when probably about 2 years of that, I paid that, as well as child support. So that went away. And she got remarried and bought a house with the money, my 401k money, the whole thing. The bottom line is, though, that she wants to renege now on this contract to sign the lawyer's office.
Well, of course she does. Think about it from her point of view. Seriously, why shouldn't she? If she can go back and her lawyer is probably telling her, hey, what the hell? It doesn't hurt to ask for it. Tommy, remember that comment you made about walking away from a marriage and a woman says, I don't want anything from you, and no problem. But sooner or later, she's going to talk to a lawyer who's going to tell her, look at what you're giving up.
Oh, I agree.
That's right.
And, you know, the funny thing is what Tom said earlier, too. It's the friends. All the friends, you're going to get this, you're going to get that.
Well,
I had a fantastic job,
Her pissed off divorcee friends, okay? Or worse, her married friends who wish they would get a divorce and hate being married, and they're living through her. And they're saying, you signed for only $25,000? You can go back and get $100,000. Why are you taking only $25,000? What, are you stupid? And she's going, I don't know. We agreed to it. Oh, talk to your lawyer. Go get more. What are you doing, girlfriend? Get every penny you can.
Right. That's exactly what's happening. I'm sure you see it every day. But anyway, the bottom line is that I've rebounded my career somewhat. I worked two jobs.
Good. I'm glad to
hear
this.
I make what I was making. Well, I promised I was going to make her when the kids were young. Meanwhile, she has cleaned houses, which a lot of the money is under the table. I asked her last year for her tax return.
Oh, forget it.
But that
zero.
Would include it.
It's going to have a big zero.
That would, right. So I asked her for that last year so we could figure this the computation out. And she did not respond, did not want to do anything about it. Now she wants to drag me through court again. And I'm wondering... are the judges, I guess it's in all individual cases, are they going to look favorably on the situation? I've been a good father all these years, and
I'm sorry to tell you,
the children.
Sorry to tell you, it doesn't count for shit. Okay, honestly, I'm sorry. Guys always tell me, I've been a decent husband, I've been a good father. So what?
Right.
Okay. The bottom line is as a man, don't kid yourself. The family law, whoever your judge is, whatever state, okay, it favors women. Okay. And if you're dealing with someone who's dishonest, and I see it with men and women, but you have these women that work off the books like her, whether she's cleaning or cooking or whatever the hell she's doing, her tax return is going to be negligible, okay? It's going to be, you know, mostly a cash business. And she's going to come in with the same thing. She comes with the high neckline and the dainty little whatever and cries to the judge how she's struggling and she's broke and, you know, she never recovered from the marriage and you were mean to her and you fucked her in the ass or whatever. And she's going to get what she wants. You've got to have, you know, you said you have a lawyer. You've got to stop kidding yourself with these little side agreements. A lot of guys tell me, oh, I'm going to make a mediated agreement. I'm going to do it in my with my lawyer. We all agree. We're just going to write it up. It's no big deal. That's a mistake because ultimately 100%, listen to my percentage here, not sometimes, not 90%, 100% of the time she is going to renege and try to get a better deal. And she has absolutely no disincentive. When you look at economics in any economic world, and this is definitely true of all the things that Tom talks about in business and Money Monday and everything, people function based on their own self-interest, especially when it comes to money. And if I told you, if I pulled you out of the crowd and I said, hey, you got no risk and you have only an upside to something, would you take that deal? No, normally I tell you, you're going to put your money in and, you know, you might lose it. You only have a 10% chance of making a profit, blah, blah. But here I tell you, there's no downside. There's only an upside. You are going to take it. And that's what women are facing when they go into family court. Only upside. Mm. Their lawyer tells them, let's throw the dice. The worst thing, the judge can say no. Okay? And, well, didn't I sign a prenuptial agreement? Aren't I reneging? Reneg all you want. That's why I criticize prenuptial agreements, because what ends up happening, and this is true for Tom Likas, and this is true for McCourt, the owner of the Dodgers, and everyone involved in this, the first thing that happens in the divorce is the woman challenges the prenuptial agreement. Of course she does. She reneges. So then the fight is, you know, how was it witnessed? How was it signed? And you try to, you know, support that it was a fair agreement and it was done properly. But that's not the point. The point is the first thing she wants to do is get it set aside. And in your case, I understand you tried to do it friendly and you did it in your lawyer's office. Ultimately, that's a mistake. Ultimately, you have to litigate it. You have to get it decided in court. It has to be something that the people went through the process and saw that it was costly and difficult. And so the woman is going to have a disincentive in her own mind to go back and screw around with it. That's it. So lawyer up, Bill.
Good luck. Lawyer up is right. I'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take another phone call with Adam. We'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam. It's all coming up as we continue.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
You guys remember Dr. Robert Armani, right? He's the chiropractor who gave Adam Sachs an adjustment right here in the studio. Well, as you know, Dr. Armani is a P1, a good friend of our show, and has always been incredibly supportive. But what you probably don't know is that he specializes in injuries, including personal injury and workers' compensation cases. So if you've been injured in any way, your neck, back, hip, knee, shoulder, you name it, Dr. Armani will work hand-in-hand with the attorney handling your case and get you fixed up. Whether you need physical therapy, rehabilitating exercises, or chiropractic adjustments, Dr. Armani has the most advanced equipment to treat your pain and injuries at any of his three L.A. area offices. Visit ArmaniChiropractic.com today. That's ArmaniChiropractic.com. Our friend Dr. Robert Armani at ArmaniChiropractic.com.
On this episode of Swamp Stupid, Gary loses a leg while trying to outrun a gator wearing a pair of gay leather sandals that begin to disintegrate into little pieces. And shit gets crazy. They ain't just stupid. They're Swamp Stupid. Go to GaryAndDino.com.
We've been encouraging some of the small and medium-sized businesses out there to advertise on our show because radio has pretty much let them know they're not welcome with really high prices on their commercials. And our friends at Kelly Controls, they heard our call when we said, hey, small and medium-sized businesses, step it up. And here's Kelly Controls for all your industrial, electric, and system integration services throughout California. You just call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. Now, Kelly Controls specializes in PLC, automation, SCADA systems, variable frequency drives, instrumentation, and process and motion control. Kelly Controls can help you complete your project and get your equipment up and running quickly and professionally. All you have to do is call Kelly Controls at 661-294-8000. You got that? 661-294-8000. Or you can visit them online at kellycontrols.com. And let me spell Kelly for you. K-E-L-L-E-Y controls.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show here with family law attorney Adam Sachs and your free legal advice. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can always call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com. And if you call me, I always answer my own phone.
He does indeed. All right, Jacob in Tempe, Arizona. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Jacob.
Yeah.
Hi, Jacob. How are you?
Good. You?
What's going on?
Not much. I was just calling to see about, like, you know, cases on child support and stuff like that because I have child support on me.
Well, you know, what happens with child support nowadays is that it's done by the state. A lot of women apply through the district attorney in their county. This is mandated by the federal government. And those guys are ruthless.
Yeah.
What's happened to you?
Well, I mean, we're still together, you know what I mean?
You're together?
But yeah, we're still together. I still pay child support, you know, but...
Wait, I'm sorry. You're paying child support to her and you live with her?
Yeah, we're still together.
That's crazy. Why is that?
We've been doing this for... Because we find we break up a lot, you know what I mean, and we get back together and stuff like that. But, you know, most of the time when we fight and we break up, she's always, like, threatening me. You know, she's going to take me back to court. She's going to give me more because I'm paying $550 for
I understand. I mean, I don't want to judge your situation, but if a woman is threatening me and we're breaking up and all this other nonsense and getting back together, that doesn't sound like a very healthy relationship, you know?
No, I know. You know what I mean? But now she gets all, you know, checks on all the kids, you know, so shouldn't that consider it as income because, you know, she doesn't work?
Yeah, but while she's living with you and you're supporting her and you're paying support through the state?
Yeah.
That's fucked up, dude. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Your self-esteem can't be that low, okay?
No, I know that, but, you know what I mean? I'm just... You know, I really want my family to work. You know what I mean?
I understand, but you said she doesn't even work. She just, like, stays home and watches TV?
You know, no, she doesn't work, but, you know, she keeps the house up. She keeps the kids, you know, going to school and stuff like
all
that.
All right. So what kind of help would you want from me exactly?
Like, in my situation, like, say if we ever do go back to court, what is my option? You know what I mean?
Well, like, you're going to get screwed, you know, of course.
But she gets government... you know, like checks on all the kids. They take their income.
Are you listening to what you're saying? Listen to what you're saying. It's twisted. Okay?
Yeah.
She's a welfare case. She's lazy. She doesn't work. She's living off of you. She fights with you all the time and throws you out, and you get back together and back and forth. That's very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy for the kids, by the way, to see that going on. That's high school stuff. You shouldn't be doing that anymore once you're an adult. And you shouldn't be doing it in high school either, by the way. But the bottom line is that obviously she's greedy and she's taking whatever social benefits she can take, and she's got her hand in your pocket. And just to make extra sure, even though she lives with you, she involved the government in collecting money from you. And then she threatens you she's going to go back all the time? Doesn't sound like love to me, dude.
Yeah. I hear that.
I would rid myself of her as quickly as possible.
Yeah. But I was just curious, you know what I mean, like if we ever did, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I hear you. If you ever do, you're going to lose.
Oh, and she gets more income than I got?
She's going to take more and more from you, and you're going to lose your driver's license, and you're going to lose your ability to get a passport, and you're going to lose your right to professional licenses, and she's going to stick it in real hard.
And yeah. I wouldn't spend 5 minutes with a woman doing that to me. I just wouldn't. It's right. just not appropriate. So, this is kind of going back to the other hour. I don't mean it as an insult. I really don't. Please yeah. forgive me, okay? Please go see a therapist. You have to talk this out because you're doing yeah. things that are harmful to yourself and to your own interests and not very good for your kids either. And a woman who yeah. threatens you and throws you out and takes you back and all this bullshit, she doesn't love you. She's looking at you and seeing a dollar sign and a meal ticket. And you should not yeah. want to live your life that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Tom? Was I too harsh?
No.
No, I think you're being you're treating him with kids loves you.
Thank you.
Everybody has their own opinions.
I understand. You know. You got to do what's good for you, but it doesn't sound very attractive, to be honest.
You know, I just think maybe one day she'll stop. You know what I mean?
No.
We just do it the right way.
No, the problem is over time probably she'll become more and more emboldened in her behavior. And she's, yeah. Thinks that she's right because she's being rewarded with money and so forth. So the crazy things that she's doing are actually being enhanced and supported and reinforced. So if anything, yeah. she's going to do it more. It's very, yeah. Romantic to kind of look at someone who's, an alcoholic or a drug addict and say, oh, I hope she'll change. I'm sure things will get better. They don't get yeah. better. They really don't. It's nonsense. A lot of people that have, Tom talked about this as the ultimate, which is the woman that won't have sex with you on your wedding night. That's the yeah. ultimate red flag. And guys will stay in a marriage like that, and the sex is screwy and bad, and they'll say, oh, it's going to improve over time. No, it's not. It is.
Yeah.
And someone who's abusive and yelling at you and carrying on and greedy and doesn't want to work, they're not going to snap out of it. They're not going to become better people. It's just bullshit. That's on yeah. TV or something. That just isn't how life really works. It's so
yeah,
difficult.
The way it
to
is right
yourself.
Now is the best it's going to be. This is as good as it gets.
Right on the beginning of the relationship is probably your best.
That's right. Whatever it is today is the best it's going to be.
Yeah, but if that's shitty, then where's it going?
But the thing is, it doesn't ever get better. It is the today is the best day you're going to have.
I'm with you, but if today now is shitty, right?
So, yeah, I'm saying it's only going to get. You're not hearing me, Adam. It's only going to get worse from today. Whatever today is, shitty, good, okay. It's not going to improve. It's going to get worse from here.
I couldn't agree more.
All right. Jacob, thank you. Another call from Arizona. Tony in Buckeye. Hello.
Tom, first time, long time. Nice to
thank
talk
you,
to you.
Tony.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
I couldn't agree more.
Good. Well, I was listening to the program on the internet, and I heard Jacob, and I was in a similar situation just like him.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
I was 18 years old, and I was in love.
Uh-oh.
And I got married.
In love!
Exactly.
Oh, man. Married at 18.
By the time I was at 26, I was divorced.
Uh-huh.
So I had a child support situation. I went to court. And the judge looked at me, said, Mr. Tony, I don't care if you have to live in a box. This is how it's done. This is what you pay.
Thanks, Judge.
Basically, yeah, thanks.
I've heard the judge say, I don't care if you live in the highway underpass. That was the one
right.
I heard.
So, I got a decent job. I work for the school system. I pay my support. There was a period there in the mid-2000s where I didn't have a good job and fell into arrears.
Uh-oh.
I got served some paperwork where she wants more support.
How surprising is that? She wants more? I can't believe it.
She wants more. I'm paying $600 a month, and I have about $800 to live on after all that. Plus, I furnish health insurance.
Wow.
Which is another $200 a month. Under her guidance, she poisoned the well. Kids don't want to have anything to do with me.
Except the money.
Except the money. Under her roof, I've got a son that has been arrested more than once, using drugs, dropped out of school.
Sorry, man.
But the court system here just does not favor men. But I can tell you, I listened to Dad, and the best thing out of that marriage I ever got was a vasectomy.
Oh, thank God for that.
Nice.
Yes, and let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Very important, okay? This is a really interesting question now. If Tom and I had run into you at a listener party or something when you were 18, right?
Right.
Would there have been any way to talk you down?
You know, my grandfather, when he was alive, bless his heart, always told me, don't get married.
Really?
I didn't listen to him.
Now, what was it? Was it some kind of thing that she wanted, or was your idea? Or what? Where did, like, the whole marriage thing come from at such a young age?
I don't know. You know, I wasn't really living in a good situation, and I thought this would fix everything.
Yeah.
But it made it worse.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people that are sort of kind of like you say, I don't know about marriage in particular, but they look for the big fix, which is, you know, sort of this thing that's going to fix like five different complicated issues. And either moving in with the woman or marrying her or having a child is supposed to, you know, turn it all around somehow. And women believe this, which is remarkable to me. And, you know, you're trading some problems, but you're trading them in generally for even worse problems.
Oh, later down the road, that's much bigger problems.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, when my trailer was unhitched and I had my vasectomy, I traveled the country, I had fun, no baby Tony's running around, and I didn't go back.
I know, but the problem is you did have kids with her, and so they ended up, you know, having problems, right? And they're angry
right.
at you, and then you're in arrearages. That's really bad.
Oh, 20 grand, bud.
20's nothing. And on top of that, you have legal interest, which is very high. Once that accumulates, you never get out of it. It's awful.
And technically, I have a joint custody order, but she doesn't give me any contact to my kids.
Yeah, well, there's ways to enforce that. I could help you, but it's very, very difficult for guys when the mother has done parental alienation. They go through all this trouble, and they finally get visits with their kids, and the kids come in, and they're all pissed off, you know? And they're like, you know, fuck you, Dad. So you're thinking about...
Tony, hang on. I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to hook you up with Adam here, okay? But let me get one more call in here. They keep coming. Michael, in Denver, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Michael.
Adam, I got a question for you. Been divorced for a year. Part of the agreement was a contractual non-modifiable alimony for 48 months.
That's interesting. How long was your marriage? How long was your marriage?
It was 15 years.
Oh, that's interesting. So you meant to pay alimony for just 4 years and it was unchangeable?
Yeah, it was part of a mediation.
That's interesting.
So I'm pretty happy about that part of it.
I'm sorry, one more thing. What was supposed to happen at the end of the 4 years? That was it?
That's it, yeah. So the idea was with the attorney was non-modifiable if she gets cerebral palsy, if she gets, you know, wrapped around a tree and she's in a wheelchair. She can't come back and try to get alimony for me for the rest of, you know, my life.
It's cool.
Going to be done in 4 years.
That's exciting.
So we're in a situation here a year later. She's found Mr. Wonderful. She's a teacher, and it's her principal. He's moving in 3 weeks.
Right.
And
how many
I'm
years? I'm sorry, what, 3 years later?
No, 1 year later.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we're 12 months into alimony. Out of 48 months, and now it's a cohabitation situation. He's got an ex-spouse that was the breadwinner as well.
Right.
So they're both pulling alimony from previous spouses. And I just wanted your opinion of what my possibilities of success if I were to try to go back and get it modified, if any.
Yeah, I mean, normally speaking, that's a great out. Once there's cohabitation, that gives you an out to the alimony. You know, if you're I missed if you had an attorney or not, but if you're...
Absolutely, I have an attorney.
Okay, so if your attorney did, and I don't know the guy, whatever, woman, whoever it was, if your attorney did a proper job, that's something that should be addressed in that alimony agreement, and that should be the end of the alimony right there. What I'm concerned to hear, you said something about the 48 months and non-modifiable and so forth. The danger of something like that, depending on how it was drafted, is that that could cut both ways, which means
right.
that perhaps because you got this very short alimony, only 4 years, and then it's non-modifiable, which is a great thing, and it's non-extendable, which is fantastically great, that maybe the opposite is true, which is that assuming she's cohabitating with someone, you may not be able to end it. So you got to take a good look at your agreement there and have your attorney
right.
say what's going
on. It's pretty specific. It talks about remarriage or death. And before I wanted to pay even my attorney another, you know, $350 an hour, I wanted to talk to you and see what you thought.
I wouldn't mind looking at it for you, but it sounds to me like you're okay. I hope you're okay. Listen, and it shouldn't be that hard to understand. Just read it, you know, read the plain words what it says.
Yeah, and as far as level of proving cohabitation, what do I need to bring in the court to show the judge? I mean, we're talking a year later. I mean, I got to give it some time, right? I mean, I can't.
Wait a minute. We're talking about wait. We're talking about specific language here. You said marriage or death. Cohabitation is not marriage.
No, but cohabitation will generally be considered an out for alimony. And sometimes what he's saying is
even
true.
If you have a non-modifiable agreement that says marriage or death.
Like I said, you got to read the words. You got to read the words. I don't know what the exact words are, but I have to say that it sounds like at least a good possibility, and it's something he should explore. You know, sometimes, like he was saying, it's difficult to prove a cohabitation. Sometimes the woman will say, "No, I'm dating him, but he doesn't live here," and you may have to actually have someone follow the guy and take pictures or whatever to show that he lives there.
Yeah.
So that's a tough one by itself. But you have a lawyer,
Have you been pretty successful with those motions get them modified in California?
Absolutely.
Oh, you have?
Listen, if they're living together, they're living together. You know, these women will. What do you want me to say? Their greed knows no limits, okay? And they will try to get as much money as they can for as long as they can. Sock it to the guy.
Adam, are you licensed in Colorado? Can you help him out?
No, I am not licensed in Colorado.
Oh,
happy to talk to you, though. We can work something out.
All right, we'll put you on hold. Dino will hook you up with Adam. Adam, tell everybody again how they can get in touch with you.
It's 800-340-7320. Tom, what happened? We hit the jackpot here. We got like five more calls. What's going on?
It just keeps going. But, you know, what can I say? As I've told you, Adam, it has nothing to do. You can't predict it. You could have the biggest audience.
How about those phases of the moon?
And very few calls. Or you can have less audience and many more calls. Now, this week, as we've been working towards the holiday weekend, the audience is down about 20% from normal. But the phone response is generally very high. Don't get it. But I'm not going to lick a gift horse in the mouth, I'll tell you right now.
Interesting. So wait, hit me with one more, Tom. Nice. I'm in the mood.
Well, the next one is not divorce law, not family law.
What is it?
Okay. Let's ask him. Troy in Dallas. Here's Adam.
Troy.
I think he walked away from the phone.
What?
Oh, I thought he was engaged. Right? I thought I pressed the button. Troy, try it now.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Hi, Tom.
Hey,
Adam.
Hey, Troy.
How y'all doing today?
I'm good. So this isn't family law. What's going on?
Well, I was married for 14 years with my ex-wife. It took 4 years to get a divorce. And since we've been divorced, she's taken down a wrong path and got hooked on major drugs and committed a felony and was just sentenced to prison. And
wow.
In the middle of the prison sentence, she's also got to go through a drug rehabilitation program, and after she gets out of prison, she's got to attend a halfway house. And I was really curious to how effective are those programs. Because, look, I really am still in love with her, yes. And I don't care if she's with me or not. I want her to be happy. I want her to go off and, you know, live her life as a happy person. I still care a lot about her and her well-being, and I was really curious on how effective are these programs.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of effort put into this stuff, and they talk about this a lot. You know, people also talk about going to drug programs and 12-step programs. I hate to say it, but generally people that are in bad places very often do not change. We saw the news today that the comedian and actor Robin Williams has gone into rehab. That's got to be, the fifth or sixth time, and he's been doing that for years and years. So, I mean, do these people ever really get cured of drugs or whatever? I don't know. Probably not. Those are lifelong
problems.
Probably
not. And I would not invest my life waiting for somebody to get better.
Right.
Now, I'm talking as somebody who had a lot of that in my family. Don't waste your time. It doesn't get – that's another thing that doesn't get better.
Unbelievable.
I hate to disappoint people, but there you go.
I think you're right.
All right, Adam. We're going to see you again next Tuesday.
Can't wait.
Right here in this chair, because that's our next live show next Tuesday at the very same time, 6 p.m., and we'll talk about criminal issues coming up next Tuesday, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot.
There goes Adam Sachs. You'll hear him again, as you do every Tuesday, for a bonus hour. It begins every Tuesday live at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine, Christ Bearer, the rapper who chopped off his own penis. Says the thing's working just fine. In fact, he apparently wants to star in porno now to prove that junk's still in working condition.
Right. I guess he, they say that he explains his cutting off of the cock as drugs as the reason behind it.
Yeah, well.
And his porno wish could possibly come true from our friend Steve Hirsch at Vivid, who also probably catapulted our friend who got his cock cut off and then did porn. I forget the dude's name, of course, right now. But that has happened already. Dude got his dick cut off by the woman, and then he started doing porn, too. So maybe our friend Christbearer could make some more money than he can with the Wu-Tang.
Sure. Right. Yeah, well, you know, that apparently is a running theme amongst people who get their penises chopped off or chop it off themselves.
Right. You run right out and start doing the porn after it's put back on.
Yeesh. Exactly. Elton John saying that Jesus would support same-sex marriage.
Oh, really?
That's what he's got to say.
Calm down, Timson.
He believes that...
John Bobbitt knows where, trying to think of
he knows where Jesus would have stood on the gay marriage issue.
Yeah, because Elton John would have sung the song for Jesus and everything would have been good.
Yeah.
Same-sex marriage, Jesus would support that.
Elton says the new pope has excited him so much by his humanity.
It's not the first time a member of the Catholic clergy has excited someone, let me tell you.
Yay.
You can guarantee he'll be singing a song about the Pope soon, too. Just like he did with Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye, and Marilyn Monroe. Pope Jean. Or whatever.
Pope Jean. Apparently, it's not just American apparel. For fashion retailers, sex is not selling these days, according to Forbes magazine.
American Apparel tries everything, so you know, if it's not working for them, it's not going to work for anybody. I'll tell you, because they really go for it.
Yeah,
and if it's proof that
Abercrombie and Fitch as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's they're all struggling. It's just not working out for them, and they.
I think people see right through it now. I mean, it's just,
really
it's not really working.
You think
out.
We've grown a little?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that it's dead. However, it's just like, come on.
You ever have your penis cut off?
Trying to do a video.
Really? You think that...
it's not just getting people to run out and buy clothes. It's just not working.
Right.
With your buddy Dove Charney running around with the beating off and the whole video and the whole thing. It's just not working out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. A Virginia lawmaker, lawyer and member of Virginia's House of Delegates was charged Monday with having sex with a 17-year-old receptionist who worked at his law firm, and they charged him with possessing child pornography because he allegedly took some naked photos of her and shared them
with
some
friend.
Of his friends because he's banging a 17-year-old broad, and of course you want to share that with your friends.
It sounds like Virginia is not one of the states that is 16 because this dude's taken 17-year-old. So
right.
You would figure a dude who has a law firm, his name's on the law firm, he's
sure.
a senior partner at the law firm, you would think he would have a little bit more smarts.
Yeah, but
instead, he's the subject.
Got a 17-year-old receptionist, a hot 17-year-old receptionist, it's you know, it's easier said than done, my friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She had started working at our friend Morrissey's law firm for about 3 weeks. And a dude who was 55 at the time took her to dinner more than once. They engaged in repeated consensual acts of sexual intercourse at the office, according to court documents.
Yeah.
So one of the encounters, I guess, they were sending text messages to their friends simultaneously during the sex act. So letting everybody know what happened.
Exactly. A former head honcho over there at Tinder is suing the company that she apparently co-founded, claiming her co-founders acted like frat boys and called her a whore. That's what it says. They called her a whore. All right.
So she is
so
she's suing
them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't really, you know, can you sue because they called you a whore?
I don't know. But she really is upset over the whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking of whores, pick alert for you, Carmen Electra.
Yay.
Beautiful. In
not a
Galore
whore.
Magazine.
Not a whore.
Not a whore, in my opinion.
A delicious piece of machinery.
Yes, wonderful in Galore Magazine. Check that out. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
That's so obvious.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show every single Friday. GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start. The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today. Enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
This is the new normal.